While experiments and missions in space sometimes get significant press attention, they also sometimes get generally forgotten or get little coverage at the time, leading to some amazing things that have happened in the course of human space exploration that you might not know about. So here are 10 obscure but amazing past space missions. Number 10. Venera and the surface of Venus. While images of the surface of Mars are quite common after multiple successful landings by NASA, as are pictures of the moon's surface due to Apollo and other missions, there are other objects we've landed on in the past yielding photographs that are not so well known. For example, the surface of Venus. In the late 1960s through the 80s, the Soviet Union, in an ambitious series of attempts to build space probes that could land and survive for a time under the very harsh conditions present on Venus's surface, they managed some surprising successes and even photographed the landscape. This is the surface of Venus. What you are seeing here is atmospheric pressure 92 times higher than the surface of the Earth, equivalent to being about a kilometer deep in the ocean. The deepest anyone's dived without a submarine and survived it on Earth is just above 300 meters. And you are also seeing astonishing temperatures here, 462 degrees Celsius, far hotter than a normal kitchen oven. The yellow color is the atmosphere of Venus, which is largely carbon dioxide and sulfuric acid, certainly not something you could breathe. Given the crushing atmospheric pressure and extreme heat, these probes typically did not last long, minutes rather than hours or days. But they were a scientific success and yielded to us our only set of photographs that we yet have from the surface of Venus. Number 9. Russia and Mars. While the Soviet Union had remarkable luck with Venus, given the conditions of the surface of that world, they had very little luck with Mars, with mission after mission over the decades failing. But they do have one distinction. They were the first to successfully land a functioning lander on Mars. It was called the Mars 3 lander, but it only transmitted for about 20 seconds before falling silent. While it did return a single image, it was simply a gray screen with no real discernible details. Still, it did transmit at least something from the surface of Mars. As to what caused the failure, it's not known, but at the time, Mars was engulfed in a planet-wide dust storm, which might have induced a coronal discharge, destroying the communication system. Number 8. Space tomatoes. NASA has a long history of sending seeds into space, most notoriously the moon trees that I've mentioned on this channel, which were grown from seeds taken by the Apollo astronauts to the moon and can still be seen dotting the landscape in various places in the US. And while the moon trees do certainly have the distinction of having been to another world, there are, at any given time, numerous, perhaps thousands, of other plants in the world growing from seeds that have been to space. NASA's history of sending vegetable seeds to low Earth orbit is extensive, and there's a good reason to do this. If we're going to colonize the solar system and grow food on space missions and eventually giant O'Neill cylinders, we need to know how that affects the seeds. So starting in 1983, NASA began including seeds in missions, and by 1984, they had literally sent millions of tomato seeds up on the Space Shuttle Challenger to be distributed to classrooms to be grown by students, including a then 9-year-old me. And yes, I ate one of the tomatoes. This has been repeated thereafter, in conjunction with the Canadian Space Agency. Seeds that have been to space continue to be grown by kindergarten through 12th grade students. And in 2006 and 7, tens of millions of cinnamon basil seeds were sent to the ISS, and then grown back here on Earth. Generally speaking, the seeds do well after having been in space, and there seems to be a great promise in the idea of growing food in zero gravity in the future. As an aside, not only have tomatoes been to space, but some of them even have space-related names. Russian space engineer Mikhailovich Maslov was also an avid gardener that developed strains of heirloom tomatoes. One particularly nice strain he bred is grown today in gardens across the world, and bears the name of his friend cosmonaut Vladislav Volkov, who died in a re-entry accident in 1971. To try this bit of space history, you'll probably have to grow the tomato yourself, unless you get lucky at a farmer's market. But the seeds of the cosmonaut Volkov tomato are widely available from seed companies. Number 7. Visiting your own unmanned spacecraft in person. In 1967, NASA launched the Surveyor 3 spacecraft from Cape Canaveral on a mission to land on the lunar surface to help prepare for manned missions to the moon. In particular, the spacecraft studied the lunar soil to determine if it could support the weight of a full-on Apollo lunar lander, along with collecting scientific data about the soil. But even after it had fully finished its mission, it still had work to do. In November of 1969, Apollo 12 landed on the moon just 600 feet from Surveyor 3. The craft was then visited by astronauts Alan Bean and Charles Conrad Jr. Human astronauts visiting spacecraft in general is nothing new. The Hubble Space Telescope was serviced multiple times in space. But humans visiting their own remote spacecraft on the surface of another world is something else entirely. But I doubt it will be the last time we do that, as it seems likely that someday someone will visit the defunct landers that dot the Martian globe and maybe bring one home. Number 6. Parachuting to Mars. In the history of human space exploration, we have plenty of footage and photographs of deep space probes being launched. That's easy enough when you have someone standing around with a camera on Earth to catch it. But landing is an entirely different thing. There are not yet people with cell phone cameras standing on other planets. But surprisingly, we do actually have a photograph of a space probe in the process of landing on another world. It was the Curiosity rover parachuting its way to the surface of Mars. And this photograph was snapped by the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter as it made its way down to the surface of Mars in 2012. Getting MRO to snap this image involved some serious spacecraft acrobatics and very good timing, but they got it. So there you are, an image of a probe from Earth in the process of landing on Mars, where it's still operational and doing science to this day. Number 5. Huygens and the surface of Titan. Mars is, in most ways, the most Earth-like planet in the solar system. And when looking at pictures beamed from its surface, it might look different, but yet not completely alien to Earth. That's what makes it Earth-like, and it basically looks like a red Earth desert with a little less sunlight. But there are landscapes that are far more alien in our solar system. One of these is Saturn's moon Titan, and we have also landed on it and photographed it. Imagine what you're seeing here. Unlike Venus, this is a very low temperature environment, about negative 179 degrees Celsius or negative 290 Fahrenheit. That's not surprising. Titan only receives about 1% of the sunlight that Earth does. As a result, water is essentially a rock on the surface of that moon. But because of those temperatures, we end up with a kind of analog of Earth. Titan has liquid on its surface in the form of hydrocarbons, and even an analog of Earth's water cycle with those liquids. Given that there is liquid on the surface, that opens up the door to a very low temperature form of life, if it's possible. This hasn't been confirmed, but it could be that the landscape you see here is teeming with very alien, very low temperature microbes. Number 4. Impacting a comet. It may seem improbable to pull it off, but the best way to study the interior of an object in space is to fire a large gun at it and see what comes out. And we once did that, sort of. On July 4, 2005, NASA's Deep Impact spacecraft placed an impactor in front of Comet Tempel 9 and it ran into it. The resulting impact was the equivalent of 5 tons of TNT and caused the loosely bound comet to release unexpected amounts of dust and gas as a result, even causing the comet to rapidly brighten by 6 times what it had been before the impact. The results were somewhat surprising. The comet contained more fine dust than was expected beforehand and less outgassing from ice. They also found carbonates and clays, which typically require exposure to liquid water to form. How those formed is not well understood. Number 3. Seeing the nucleus of Halley's Comet. In 1986, the much-anticipated passage of Halley's Comet occurred. This comet is famous throughout recorded history, having been spotted in 1066, the year of the Battle of Hastings, with its 76-year orbit first calculated and predicted by Edmund Halley in the 18th century, and its 1910 apparition was by all accounts quite spectacular. So, the 1986 apparition of Comet Halley was widely anticipated and planned for within the scientific community. The comet itself, as seen from Earth, was somewhat of a dud. While it appeared in the night sky, it was not the blazing bright comet it had sometimes been in previous passes. It seems to be a rather hit-or-miss comet as far as brightness, but it does have the distinction, perhaps fitting for the most famous comet in history, of having been the first to have its nucleus photographed. In 1986, the European Space Agency sent the Giotto spacecraft to study Comet Halley up close and snap a picture of said nucleus. It was a success and shed new light on comet composition, but there were also some surprises. One was that the probe survived at all. There had been predictions that the dusty environment around the comet would destroy the probe, and despite one impact even spinning it around and possibly even taking a chunk out of the spacecraft, it was able to recover and even go on to study a second comet some years later. Most of the dust itself turned out to be very small, more like cigarette smoke than sand, and the nucleus itself was very dark, suggesting a heavy dust coating. the jets of material coming off the comet due to the melting of the ices forming its coma and tail was mostly water with a mix of carbon dioxide, methane, and ammonia, and a lot of dust. Halley's Comet is predicted to return in 2061. Number 2. Detonating a nuke in space. Nuclear testing these days is considered a bad thing, essentially a global taboo that's mostly banned by treaty, or not pursued at all other than by a handful of countries with less than stellar international relations. But this was once not so, and within the history of nuclear testing and its relationship with space, there are some odd stories. One would be a nuclear detonation detected in 1979 off the coast of Antarctica near the Prince Edward Islands. To this day, no one has admitted to this test, though it's generally thought to have been a joint test performed by South Africa and Israel. But perhaps the most interesting incident was in 1962, when the United States detonated a nuclear weapon in space. This test is known as Starfish Prime, and it did not go well. It caused several problems, including creating an electromagnetic pulse far stronger than what was predicted that knocked out electrical systems and streetlights nearly 900 miles away in the Hawaiian Islands. Effects on the magnetosphere caused intense artificial auroras to be seen, and the test also formed an artificial radiation belt around Earth that persisted for years and damaged multiple satellites. Clearly, it's not the best idea to detonate nuclear weapons in what is also low Earth orbit, but there is an honorable mention in relation to space and nuclear testing. One underground test done by the United States included a manhole cover that may well have been blown into space. It appeared in one frame in high-speed footage, getting blown off at ridiculous speed, escape velocity, and no trace of it was ever found. Whether any material from the cover actually did escape into space is unknown. Number 1. Missiles and Kessler Syndrome. One of the big fears of low Earth orbit is the concept of Kessler Syndrome, where the density of objects, space junk, hanging around in low Earth orbit becomes so high that collisions between the objects could cascade and generate so much debris that it could make low Earth orbit off limits to human use for decades. This scenario wouldn't end our presence in space. Other orbits would be available, and launching through a Kessler Syndrome affected orbit isn't so much of a problem as orbiting within it is, but it would make certain very valuable orbits for human use problematic at best. Space junk is bad, and the various space agencies go to certain lengths to ensure that space junk is managed, such as mandatory deorbiting capabilities for communication satellites like SpaceX's Starlink when the end of the satellite's lifetime comes. But governments at large haven't always been so careful. In the 1980s, the US developed anti-satellite missiles and tested one in 1985 on a science satellite that's batteries were degrading, all of which have now deorbited. But the last one may have been in orbit as late as 2008. In 2007, however, China tested its own anti-satellite missile, destroying a defunct Chinese weather satellite. This event is the single largest creation of space debris in human history, with several thousand pieces of trackable size recorded, and likely over 100,000 tiny fragments were generated that we can't track. They will present orbital threats for some time to the space launch industry. In this list, I had to draw a line at 10 entries, but there are too many honorable mentions to mention, such as the time when the US Navy, only just a year after the Chinese test, shot a missile from a ship at a satellite just as it was beginning to enter the Earth's atmosphere to neutralize its environmentally unfriendly hydrazine tanks. Obviously, the 80s anti-missile idea worked. Or that time we parachuted a probe into Jupiter's atmosphere but didn't take any pictures. Or when we attempted to collect cometary material and interstellar grains passing through the solar system and then successfully returned them to Earth. There's just so much, so I'll probably do a sequel to this list in the future. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.